FM.
70 record closing highs so far for the Dow.
Blasting through a ceiling.
In a record-setting IPO.
Investors who have been riding the wave.
When the stock market is booming, we're made to believe the economy is booming.
As the stock market goes, so goes the wealth and the health and economy.
So what exactly is the stock market measuring?
Yes, 98.4 Capital FM. This is the Financial Focus, a show that seeks to delve into matters affecting our economy, today being the 16th of April, 2024. And you are with me, Nyambura Ndongo, alongside Ken Gishinga, Chief Economist, Mentoria Economics. You are listening to us at 98.4 Capital FM. And you can catch us online at www.capitalfm.co.ke/listen live. Now, we did ask you to get back to us on some of the financial awareness topics that you'd want us to give, this being the month of financial literacy. And today, we are very excited to have a beautiful lady, and we're going to be having a very nice show. I think Ken is going to be letting us know what we're going to be discussing later on. We value your feedback, your questions. You can get us at WhatsApp line 0701-984-984, our socials, Facebook, X at Capital FM Kenya, hashtag Financial Focused. Ken, good evening. How are you?
I'm very well. Good evening, Nyambura.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure seeing you.
Nice.
On this April sunny wet.
Yeah, it is perfect weather. Sunny during the day, it's actually very beautiful. It's, and then
it is.
Come the evening hours, the rain opens heaven. They open and now we have rain.
Indeed, it's a great pleasure to be on Financial Focus today. And as we've said, April is the month of financial literacy.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to understand, where do I put my money?
Yes.
How do I start this journey? What does success look like?
Mm-hmm.
And today,
yeah,
we have the honor of having a special guest.
Tell us.
Mercy Mwongela.
Uh-huh.
Mercy is the Chief Customer Experience Officer at Nabo Capital, responsible for institutional sales, product structuring, and overall bespoke customer experience. In addition, she's actively involved in piloting Nabo Capital's systems and processes review and enhancement towards end-to-end automation for the AI age. We talk a lot about AI, on this show. Mercy is purposeful about impactful business development, aimed at unlocking value for all stakeholders, and is enthusiastic about creating exceptional boutique experiences and solutions for investors, having spent all her professional career at the Dubai International Financial Center, and I'm sure we'll be very eager to learn what that was about,
right,
as well as working for a boutique management company and education company for the last 13 years. Mercy holds a law degree from the University of Nairobi and is a certified public accountant, a certified public secretary, and a graduate of Strathmore. She's currently pursuing an executive MBA from Strathmore Business School. She has successfully cleared her CFA level one and has undertaken fintech training and capacity development from HarvardX and Harvard Business School. So, Nyambura, if you are looking for an expert on...
You're within your people, huh?
These are my people. Karibu sana, Mercy.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Nyambura, for having me.
Nice.
I bring greetings from Nabo Capital and happy to be here. First, to have fun,
right,
and bring a lot of financial literacy education in this wonderful month.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Mercy, last week we were discussing the risks, and some we did have a guest with us the previous week, and we were discussing the World Global Report gave a risk report, and it said the highest emerging risk in 2024, global risk, highest, top ranked, is misinformation and disinformation. And talked heavily towards the fact that we are in an AI age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting when we know that we are in that technology age and we are using this technology, but I'm sure these are some of the things that you have to navigate.
True.
As you seek to get AI to work for us and all the other way around.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So Ken, looking forward to the good show today. I keep telling people that information is always power.
Yeah.
And I do have a special report that people can actually be looking at every single Monday. It's called the State of the Economy. A report you can get by emailing info@mentoria.co.ke to get all this information about economics, data, insights, and forecasts by every single Monday morning. So, Ken, how is that going?
Oh, it's going on very well.
Right.
Some very big stories, mm-hmm. Which we shall be unpacking.
Right.
The IMF sends a big warning mm-hmm. to the world. If we don't course correct, the world is heading for what they call the tepid 20s.
Wow.
And I'll be talking a bit about that.
Okay. I think we shall just jump right into it. Considering we have a lot of information today we are going to be consuming. And we are the ones who are going to not be misinforming our people. So, in terms of the U.S. last time, we had the report, the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index that was actually coming out last week on Wednesday, on the 10th of April, 2024. What was the outcome of that? It happened the day after our show.
Yeah, it came as a bit of a surprise.
Right.
Some of us were expecting the numbers to start coming down, but mm-hmm. Inflation went up. It was a surprise, went from 3.2%
mm-hmm.
up to 3.5%,
okay.
Really ruling out any June cuts from an interest rate perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The key drivers were mostly around shelter costs,
okay.
Gasoline. So it'd be interesting. Here we are looking at lower fuel.
Right.
There it's gasoline that's driving it up. But really, I think for a lot of people, it meant America is going to be in a high interest rate environment for a bit longer
okay.
than had been expected. And obviously, that played out in the currency markets. It played out in expectations on Europe. In fact, there is every reason that the Europeans might actually lower interest rates before the United mm-hmm. States. So that sort of had an interesting impact on how the euro dollar
yeah.
Will play out. But that was really the big news, mm-hmm. and it had ripple effects
right.
across the global economy.
So what are we anticipating, especially here in Kenya? You know, I think when we were looking at the inflation numbers, the data that came out of KNBS about 3 weeks ago, inflation, there was a bit of movement. And then as well, the CBK just decided to maintain the rates. So is that going to... You know, everything that is happening in the U.S. always seems to trickle down across the globe. And what do we see?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think for Kenya, we're in a slightly better position.
Okay.
We are within the inflation targets.
Right.
Last number came at 5.7,
yeah.
the last print. So we are within the bounds. And, you know, who knows, the central bank might say at some point,
mm-hmm.
Possibly we need to start cutting rates. But from the U.S. perspective, their target is 2%.
Right.
So this number doesn't seem to be getting closer. And that's why we use the word sticky. When you say inflation is sticky,
right.
it means that, especially the core inflation,
mm-hmm.
things are, inflation has propagated across the entire economy, that bringing it down is actually not as easy as had been expected, which will mean longer interest rates,
right.
Higher mortgage prices, higher credit card rates,
yeah.
higher interest rates on bank loans. So definitely for businesses, it's not something they are looking forward to. A lot of people had expected June to be the first
yeah.
time for the rate cuts. But I think with these latest numbers coming in, the mm. Fed might say, let's wait till September. Let's wait for these numbers to come down. So it'll have a big impact, including on international currencies moving forward.
And you know, Ken, I think every time we are discussing and people are trying to figure out, okay, inflation, core inflation, consumer price index. So what happens or what does it mean when the Fed is actually maintaining it is, they have said they're not going to be reducing because they have seen inflation is still very high. So what does that mean in layman's language?
Absolutely. So the key mandate for most central banks,
right.
around the world is price stability.
Mm-hmm.
So maintaining inflations at a particular range. For Kenya, it's 5%.
Mm-hmm.
For most of the Western world, it's about 2%. For Japan, it's 1%. So every country
Recent.
Has a different level. And the idea is to maintain so that investors don't feel the investments are being
okay.
Eroded by inflation.
Yeah.
So the number one even if you go to the CBK website, the number one purpose of the central bank is to maintain price stability. Mm-hmm. And that's why they really have to either raise or lower interest rates
okay.
in line. If the economy is overheating and yeah. prices are going up, they're going to raise interest rates. Mm-hmm. If it's cooling, if it's too slow, they're going to lower mm-hmm. interest rates. Mm-hmm. So for the US, it's a bit interesting. They have been eyeing what is called a soft landing.
Right.
This is a situation where inflation should be coming down and growth is actually booming.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't quite achieved that. Economy, yes, is growing. Last time they created about over 300,000 jobs,
mm-hmm.
but inflation doesn't seem to be coming down.
Mm.
It's breaking down. And this has an effect on, we just talk about the first rounds of inflation.
Yeah.
This is when prices go up. What you've talked about, the CPI.
Exactly.
But there are also the second round effects.
Mm-hmm.
This is when now employees go to their bosses and say, you know, boss,
the
prices have gone up. I need a salary increment.
Right.
Those are called the second
mm-hmm.
round effects of inflation. They are actually also called third round effects.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you that part. I've actually written an opinion piece maybe later this week.
Okay.
I think it'll be on the standard.
Okay.
I'll forward that to you. But it's actually third round effects, and maybe you'll discuss it when you. So it has an important, and that central banks have a very keen focus on maintaining inflation, because when inflation gets out of hand, investors don't want to invest. Prices become, it's even as a business, it's very hard to do any business modeling
mm-hmm.
because you don't know where numbers will be in the next 5 years.
Okay. One thing I can tell you that is really happening is, you know, we were just sitting and discussing how every single day there's always something that is happening. And we saw what happened it was actually over the weekend. The geopolitics and the Middle East and the war that is happening, which is going to definitely have a direct correlation to everything that is happening within our global economy. We did see if at all, there is a confrontation between Israel, Iran, and the US in terms of oil supply, in terms of even where they are, and what is coming out of all these countries. What does this mean in terms of the global economy when now we were barely Israel, Hamas, now Russia, everything cooling down, and then something new has happened?
Yeah, the geopolitics are a bit untidy. Not least, this is one of the few times that Israel and Iran have faced each other face to face. Often they use proxies. Often they use other partners.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the weekend was, I think it caught
not everybody.
Israel had a dome and they said they intercepted
they
all the 300 that came into their country. But I think for the rest of the world, people were sort of shocked by the courage that Iran would actually take this head on, and everybody was worried what Israel would do. There's a big G7 summit that will be coming up to discuss it. But of course, all the global assets, the asset classes that Marcy will be talking about, where to invest,
whether
it's gold, whether it's oil commodities. I mean, gold prices definitely go up. In our risky world, gold really benefits.
Yeah.
It's the asset class for the most conservative of the most conservative. If you wanted to get the most conservative person in the room, gold is always it.
Trading the gold. Okay.
But obviously commodities, bonds and stocks.
Right.
Obviously stock prices were lower because it means the business environment is not doing
very
as well. So companies are not selling as much, and their share prices are not going up. So for the conservative assets, they do very well.
Right.
The gold, for sort of what you call like the markets, obviously that is going to play out. Obviously it's a lot, but I think everybody is hoping for some sense of restraint.
Right.
Because if that doesn't come, I mean, it could complicate inflation. As I say, inflation is sticky. It's been very high over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
The world cannot afford another round of inflation.
Okay. There is also the concern about oil and the oil prices, how the war is actually going to be affecting the oil prices in the global economy.
Every time there is geopolitics, obviously oil prices skyrocket because the supply side becomes constrained. The supply side becomes constrained, and it becomes very, very difficult to be able to deliver those volumes into the market. So obviously, higher oil prices means a lower economy. And people have been using the word stagflation. This is a situation where prices are high because of oil, but also growth is low. The economy has stagnated. So it's called stagflation. It's a combination of a stagnant economy with it's almost the worst, the worst of both worlds. So everybody's praying that we don't get to that situation. We just come from COVID.
Right.
We had a Russia-Ukraine crisis. The world cannot afford, especially with the IMF warning us that if we don't move forward, there is much danger.
You're going to be telling us about the warning that we have from the IMF. It's time for a short break. Capital FM 98.4 Capital FM. Yes, it is the Financial Forecast, a show that delves to seek into matters affecting our economy. You're with me, Nyambura Ndongo, alongside Ken Gishinga, Chief Economist, Mentoria Economics. And today we have the pleasure of having the beautiful Masi Njoroge from NABO Capital telling us how to build income for businesses and individuals. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to that. But before we get there, Ken, you were telling us the IMF have actually given a warning. What is this warning?
So this week, actually, the IMF and the World Bank will be having the April meetings in Washington, D.C. They normally have two big meetings in a year, the April meetings and the October meetings. So this week, we expect to have tons and tons of report, and we'll report it what happened in future episodes.
Yeah.
But what the IMF did last week, they almost gave a precursor of what to expect this week. In the sense, it said, if the world leaders don't course correct, we are almost looking at a lost decade in terms of low growth, high debts. Wow. Many countries are struggling with high debt and low growth. And if policy leaders don't put their thoughts together, we're actually looking at what they'll call the tepid 20s, really a decade of lost growth. And I mean, if you think about it, COVID came in really at the beginning of this decade, 2020. We lost about 2-3 years. Here in Kenya, we went into an election, which took us another 1-2 years.
Right.
So we are right now, 2024, we are right bang in the middle of this decade. And the IMF, the World Bank are saying, you know, if global leaders don't think it through, all these Russia-Ukraine crises, Middle East crises, we end up having the 20s, you know. Our children will be saying the 20s was the lost 20s. So it's, I think it was a call, an invitation to most global leaders to think hard about their domestic economies. How do we support businesses?
Right.
How do we support innovation? How do we tap on the AIs of this world to unlock growth? Otherwise, if we don't think hard about policies, it's going to be, you know, Japan has a decade called the lost decade in the 90s.
Wow.
We might head for that. So I think it's a cost. Obviously, every country will experience it differently.
Mm-hmm.
America seems to be a bit more proactive. There seems to be ahead of the curve. But this is sort of saying globally, we might see our growth rates at 3%, which is well below our historical standards. So I think it's a call for world leaders as they attend that conference in D.C. To come to that conference with solutions, to come to that conference with wearing their thinking hats, because the future of jobs is at hand. The future of businesses is at hand. We can't live in high interest rate environment, high tax environment for a long time.
You know why I laugh, Ken? Is because I think every single year there's always a global leadership meeting. The Davos, they go and discuss world climate. And amongst the other, you see, for misinformation and disinformation, that was emerging risk number one for the next 2 years, because there are very many countries that are actually going into election. But the number one across 10 years, the emerging risk was actually changing environment and environmental weather patterns. But they actually go sit, they discuss all these things, and they say how we are going to be cutting our carbon footprint, carbon emission, and all that. But it is still a risk. So even if the IMF actually called for that, and you know, you'd think that the IMF is going to have a bit of a muscle in terms of actually having all this influence in changing policy, are they going to really implement, or as we say, when there's politics, you really, economics and politics are really tied to the bone. So at what particular point do economists, I can actually say, come in and say, you know, we've actually seen what the 20s were. We have seen the lost decade, and these are the actually everything that happened to lead us here. The same way we were discussing Zimbabwe, we would see how we got here. But is it going to really be implemented? Is there something that is going to come in and say, hey, guys, this is the way, and they're going to implement?
That's a fascinating point, because this year is going to be the year with the most elections
right.
in history. I think about 60 countries have already started going into elections, the US in November, India deciding soon, including the EU. So you're right, politics comes first.
Right.
A lot of political issues have to be settled this year, whether it's Israel, Hamas,
right.
Russia, Ukraine. So one could say, trying to do some sort of forecasting before people have settled politically, especially the US elections in November, is a bit problematic, because if you can't predict how that will go, Republican policies are so different from Democrat policies.
Okay.
So your ability to call that election really has a big impact. So you could say all these leaders going to DC right now, these are central bank chiefs, treasury heads, you know, their hands are tied. Central banks have to fight inflation anyway.
Yeah.
Treasury heads have to cut deficits anyway.
Okay.
And so you have a very powerful point in terms of their hands are tied.
Yeah.
There's a political question that has to be resolved. Then maybe next year,
before.
Then that's, I mean, including the UK will also be having its election. So it's something that is in the hands of the people, not really in the hands of the leaders, because how the people vote will determine how the economy. So I think that's a really good point, particularly from a predicting perspective. Unless you can predict the elections, it's very, very difficult to do so.
Well, we were discussing how gold is the reserve. Last week we were discussing Zimbabwe and how they have actually changed their currency. So the new currency, ZiG, was meant to come into effect from April the 5th, but now it has been delayed till April the 30th, leaving the US dollar still dominating the market, because as we discussed, people actually do not have the currency to actually do any purchases. So we are still seeing that playing out. How long and how is it really... It's still the impact of changing this, even as you had said, did they really think through the period that they actually required to be changing this? And then do they even have the correct number of dollars that they actually need to be trading?
No, it will be a difficult time. And the challenge with Zimbabwe is they're almost like two nations. There is the upper class that is using the US dollar, really paying employees in United States dollars.
Yeah.
Then there is where the masses are, the ordinary people who are unable to transact. I think last week I told you how people are doing sometimes transactions with sweets and with pens because of that shortage of currency.
Yeah.
So it is a significant problem. As I said, that idea has been approved. I think it's just a matter of rolling it out.
Okay.
It will be anchored on the gold. I think the idea for that is to bring confidence.
Okay.
When something is anchored on gold, even the most conservative people
sort
of have faith in that currency. But would there be enough of it for a growing Zimbabwean population? That was a question I posed last week.
Right.
And from what I've read, it's still a challenge in terms of producing it. So I think Zimbabwe is in the eye of a storm.
Right.
And the central bank leaders really have to think through, because lack of currency can create huge social strain on a society. So the US dollar is not enough to be able to circulate.
Exactly.
So the ability to meet that gap has to be thought through in a very, very quick way, by the way.
And you know, in Kenya there was a conversation that we are actually running out of gold reserves. So in Zimbabwe, do you think they actually have that many, like the quantity is going to be able and enough for their citizenship?
Well, the governor was very bullish.
Right.
In fact, he arraigned investors and he showed them. Interestingly, and he was able to, including the president, to show them the bullion. They do have the reserves.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think that will be a problem. But as I said, If you reflect on the gold standard, like in the US,
right.
The reason the world left the gold standard was because there wasn't enough gold
yeah.
in the mines to keep up with a growing population,
mm-hmm.
growing transactions. So it was a challenge. How they meet that challenge right now, I think that is the main thing. So the ZIG, what is called the Zimbabwe Gold,
yeah.
I think it's attracted a lot of interest, including internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's wait and see in terms of its implementation.
Okay. So is there anything else we are meant to be looking at in terms of the big five economies, Egypt? I know our South African president is next door. But they are discussing things to do with the Central African Republic area, like the war and stuff like that.
I think the biggest thing is Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
the biggest economy in West Africa.
Right.
They're looking to capitalize banks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking at a round of consolidation.
Okay.
Nigeria is about 24 banks. People always wonder how that ratio of that population
yeah,
and that number of banks,
yeah.
how that plays out. But there's a push not similar to what was that 3 decades ago,
yeah.
but something similar to that in terms of asking banks to capitalize a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, that could have an impact. But the Naira has also strengthened.
Right.
You know, we've been celebrating the shilling strengthening,
yeah.
but the Naira has found some confidence.
Finally, yeah.
So we are seeing it getting back to, well, not where it was,
but at least it,
it might find some resistance in that 1,000 area. So it's I think Nigeria is interesting, given that they've been through a lot of suffering. Now they have found a bit of stability,
okay.
but the issue of banks consolidation,
yeah.
that
what does that indicate for an economy?
I mean, it's a big debate.
Right.
There are always people who say there's a ratio of a population to the number of banks. I've never really believed in that. I think it should be as long as
the bank is able to actually support the country and the population.
Right.
Right.
I mean, the United States has almost 4,000 banks.
Oh.
You know, yes, absolutely. So for me, this whole argument that sometimes you use that for this population, you need to have, I think it's like in any free market, it's you can enter, you can
yeah,
exit. If
yeah.
you find a way of making profits,
uh-huh.
exactly. But it seems in Africa, there seems to be that pushed for consolidation.
Okay.
We're seeing a bit of consolidation.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of it because I think it limits the amount of vibrance
okay.
an economy has. But Nigeria now, that's one of the things they want to capitalize their banking sector, and we might see the numbers shrinking from 24, maybe even too much less.
Okay, I can see it's time for the news, so we need to be taking a brief break, and then when we come back, Masi, over to you, and we are about to all want to learn how to make a bit more money in this economy, considering everything that is happening within the world. Welcome back, 98.4 Capital FM. This is The Financial Focus, a show that delves to seek into matters affecting our economy. And you're with me, Nyambura Ndongo, alongside Ken Gishinga, Chief Economist, Mentoria Economics. And today, we do have Masi Njoroge of Nabo Capital. And today, we are discussing how to build passive income for our businesses and our individual. So, welcome, Masi.
Thank you. And thank you, Nyambura.
Yeah. The first half of the show, we were busy just taking through what is going through in terms of our economy, what is happening globally, and some of the things that are actually affecting us. So we are very eager to find out how it is that we can be making absolutely way much more money.
Yeah.
So we are ready to get some information from you. Yes, take us away.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Ken and Nyambura. And I'm so glad to come after you because you've set the stage for me.
Right.
You've talked about all the hard stuff. What is inflation? Mm. What's happening from a geopolitical perspective?
Right.
And what has that really been for us? It just means cost of living is going to keep on going up, rising. Inflation continues to increase globally. It's not unique to Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
This year, our CIO, Damitha Pathmalal, authored our 2024 outlook, and it's titled The Best Worst Case.
Nice.
Wow.
Meaning, we are in what we call a W curve recovery.
Okay.
I'm sure you know what that is, Ken.
Correct.
Because we just came from the post-pandemic. Then Kenya had an electioneering year. Then there's a geopolitical war, Ukraine, Russia. There's now Israel, the Middle East combo war. And as we're trying to recover, there's always something that's catching up with us.
Always.
So what does that mean for you? And for an investor, the first thing is to keep yourself abreast.
Mm-hmm.
Know what's happening economically, not just in your country, but macroeconomically. What's happening in the U.S.? U.S. dictates a lot of what happens across border, across other countries. So what's happening with the Fed rates? We've seen the U.S. economy shrinking significantly.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Nasdaq and Dow also going down from a pricing perspective. What does that mean for us here in Kenya? And what does it mean for you? Inflation will continue to rise, yeah? And I know the government has done a lot with stabilizing inflation, bringing it down to 5.7,
yeah,
which is fantastic. But in the lead up to the next few months, what do we segue to see happening from an inflation perspective?
Right.
And so the next call to action is you must have diversified sources of income. You cannot solely rely on your job or your business to generate active income. And what's the difference between active income and passive income? Active income is, Nyambura, if you don't come to work,
yeah,
you're going to get your salary.
It's not going to show up.
It will not show up.
No.
Meaning, showing up to work, doing that business is active income. But there is, would you be interested in learning how you can generate passive income? The one that you don't have to wake up in the morning, it works for you, yeah. Sunday, Monday, whether you're sleeping, whether you're on holiday.
Right.
Ken, whether you've decided to take a sabbatical from your business, the passive income line is working for you. And
great.
Albert Einstein called passive income the eighth wonder of the world.
Oh, okay.
If you master the magic of passive income and compounding interest, I liked the advert that just came before.
Right.
Stan Biko was saying it compounds on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Compounding is when your money is earning interest on interest. So today you close the account with 101. Tomorrow, yeah, that 101 is going to earn interest. Yeah. You didn't wake up to go to work, but that money has been working for you.
Right.
And for you to be able to hedge against inflation, you need to generate passive income actively. And what do I mean by actively? You
right.
have to be very intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Ken, I had the opportunity of working in Dubai for 13 years.
Wow.
Which was amazing.
Right.
I wasn't paying tax. Payee.
Yes.
I came back home and I looked at my pay slip and I was like, oh my.
And then now you added housing levy.
And now you've added housing levy. And we don't know what else is going to come up.
And they keep coming.
And they keep coming. But if you could start paying yourself first and you get into that habit before the paycheck hits your bank account, that money has been automatically deducted. Trust me, you're going to live within whatever else is left.
Okay.
If taxes were to go to 40%, we will live with whatever is left, isn't it?
You have to.
So the third call to action is to start paying yourself first. First, we said educate yourself, know what's happening on a macroeconomic perspective.
Right.
This is a fantastic show. So tune in. You know, you're driving. Listen to Financial Focus. There is so much content. There is so much content.
Information.
And we're talking about risk of misinformation.
Right.
But always verify your content and the source of that information. Second, diversify your income streams. Diversify them passively.
Right.
And there's a difference between, I know Kenyans, we love side hustles.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to start a boutique. That's active. Because if that shop is not opened, you're still dealing with systemic issues.
Right.
It's all good. But if we can switch, not just individuals and families, but also businesses, if your business can start generating a passive income line, investment income, that will take you a long way. Right. And it's not hard. So we're going to talk about that today,
right,
and much more. But happy to maybe hear from you, Nyambura. I don't know.
I'm just thinking, all this sounds absolutely fantastic, Ken, because, I mean, checking on our payslips, starting last year, mid last year, every single time you actually look at your payslip, you're reverberating inside your tummy.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, okay, I have to do all this. All this is coming out from my payslip. But remember, your circumstances have not changed. The number of dependents that you have not also changed. Your salary also, because the businesses are in the same economy as you, you're struggling. So I'm going to go to my boss and say, hi, you know, inflation has actually gone up. And the question will be asked is, remember, our clients are also dwindling. The currency is also, macroeconomics are also looking bad. So how is it that I can make way much more money? And then we have the issue of the changing taxation regimes, and there is now ETIBs, and I have to be compliant. Then how is it that I'm going to be making this passive income if it is not all going to go back to the government?
Yeah.
You know, Nyambura, it's so interesting you talked about the payslips,
right,
and how they looked before and after.
Yeah.
In fact, there was an article in one of the papers last week,
mm-hmm,
that says if you calculate the new deductions, the housing levy,
mm-hmm,
the social health that's coming up,
mm,
the new taxations, it actually takes about 10% of your salary.
Yeah.
Add that to the inflation of 5% that has been pervading. So you're talking of almost a 15% loss of purchasing power. Now, 15% loss of purchasing power is quite,
wow,
significant in the context of
that's
where
true
we are right now. And obviously, making good investments, taking advantage of compound strategy,
mm-hmm,
that's very powerful. But I'd like to roll back the years, Mercy, a bit. Before we get to the deep in investments,
yes,
I'd like to take you back to the Dubai years.
Okay.
Because a lot of our audiences are very keen to understand. You worked in the Dubai International Finance
Center. Yes.
And there was a time Nairobi had a vision.
Correct.
I think it still has, of having a Nairobi International Financial Center. What are the things that you saw there that Kenya can emulate?
Wow. The DIFC has a very special place in my heart.
Mm.
One of the things that I saw there was intentionality around opening up the region for business, but also attracting FDI, attracting the likes of the Goldman Sachs, the
nice
BlackRocks, the Deutsche Banks to set up. And they did that by creating a conducive business environment. One, DIFC had, I think, a 50-year tax break, so no corporate taxes. Two, Dubai has set itself up to be a tax haven of sorts in some jurisdictions. Three, there was governance. Governance is key if you're looking to attract investors. As long as you don't have a legit or solid governance structure from court systems, arbitration, English law, common law that is technically amenable and also acceptable by most countries, then it becomes hard. So the DIFC did that. They had their own courts. They had their own arbitration center. They created a fantastic infrastructure. And Dubai has always been the place where they believe that we build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't wait for you to come for them to start saying, oh, okay, let's now start,
yeah,
building and developing the infrastructure. And for me, that was such a key learning, that when you've got a vision, go on with it and then businesses will come. And I'm so happy to see Centum, which is our shareholder, developing the same vision here in Kenya through the Two Rivers International Financial,
mm-hmm,
Center called,
yeah,
TRIFIC. So, and TRIFIC's mandate, one, it's a special economic zone, meaning you've got tax advantages,
right,
when you set up here.
Right.
Two, it's a one-stop shop. So if you're an international investor, and the main privy of TRIFIC is to, Kenya has been known as the Silicon Valley of Africa,
yeah,
Silicon Savannah,
right,
to attract innovative businesses that want to set up in Kenya and export those services. I was most recently talking to my former American boss who went back to the States. We left Dubai around the same time. He went and set up a real estate firm. And he was like, Mercy, you know, ever since I worked with you and was able interacted with Kenyans, you guys are very well read.
Nice.
What can you do to export this service to the Americans? Because we're now tired of importing services from Indians, from the Filipinos. We don't understand each other. Yes. You've got a great command of English. So I'm very happy to see Trific come live and also mimicking the structure of Dubai International Financial Center. So there were some really good learnings. There was a lot of exposure, Wall Street investment bankers, top-tier law firms, top-tier financial firms and financial solutions. So I had a really good time there. Yeah.
Okay, that is interesting. But, Ken, let us go back to learning how to make passive income.
Yes.
Ken, Mercy, please.
Okay. So the first starting point is, one, you need to define your goals.
Right.
I'm sure you've heard number of Maslow hierarchy of needs,
yes.
Yeah? The first ranking of a hierarchy of needs is your lifestyle, your basic, your food, shelter, accommodation.
Right.
For you to start an investment journey, you need to stack up at least anywhere between 6 to 12 months of your living expenses.
Wow.
And how do you start this? The first genesis is your budget. Do you know where your money goes to? A lot of us don't know. I remember right after relocating, I absolutely loved M-Pesa. I was M-Pesa-ing everyone. Nyanya's M-Pesa. I did an exercise. I was like, wait a minute. I think I had 32K on my phone and I don't have any money 24 hours later.
Where did it go?
Where did the money go? So I started auditing the transactions. And I realized you've sent someone 2,000, but you didn't send 2,000. You either send 2,067. Uh-huh. You know, there's that 33 bob.
Yes.
So I cumulatively looked at how much money I had spent on this 25, 32. But I remember it was approximately 4 to 6%.
Right.
If you don't know where your money is going, then you've got a problem. You need to start with a budget. And that budget will inform you in terms of your living expenses. Mm. Are you living within your means? Or do you just have money that you can't even accommodate? You can't account for those lattes, those 200 bobs, you know, that drink on Friday,
right.
Those nickels and dimes, when you cumulatively look at them, they mean something. And I like what Dave Ramsey says.
Right.
That if you don't plan for your money will plan for itself.
Yep.
Yeah? So there has to be a deliberate focus around budgeting. And a good exercise is just do it on Excel or on a piece of paper. Draw a pie chart. See where your money is going to. You might be surprised that 30% is going to things that you really don't need. And for the longest time, I didn't want to do that exercise because I knew it means I need to cut down on my shopping. So that's a good starting point. Then the second is then build the buffer of your emergency. Have an emergency fund. It's so critically important to have an emergency fund. I'll share my own personal experience. 2020, we were living in Dubai, enjoying our best lives. COVID happened. And boom, my husband and I had no jobs.
Wow.
Imagine that. Out of nowhere, my husband was working for Emirates. 2020, the year began very well. We had had this flu, yeah? And because of the locality of Dubai, there was always prevalence of swine flu, which affected the region, flights here and there. But COVID was far beyond what anyone could expect. If we did not have a portfolio, we'd have moved back either with our parents. And so it's important to have a buffer. It is so important to have an emergency fund. And a good gauge is anywhere between 6 to 12 months of your living expenses. Then you go to your second hierarchy of needs, which are security needs. Your education, you want to live in a good place. So the first one is I want shelter.
Right.
But then now I need to live in a gated neighborhood. I need a secure place. Mm-hmm. I need insurance. I need healthcare insurance. Those are called security needs.
Right.
It's good to have a good buffer of security needs. And at Nabo Capital, what we do is we help clients build up portfolios. What is a portfolio? A portfolio is a combination of assets, financial assets. It could be shares, it could be cash, it could be your government bonds, whatever financial assets are there. We help you invest with purpose. So you could come and say, you know what, Marcy, I want to be able to generate interest income that will take care of my fees.
Right.
And I don't want to ever go back to my pocket. And we do this actively for our clients. Most recently, we did it for one of our clients. And as we were doing it, I think I was beginning to understand it more, because the more you do something, the more you get deeper revelation. So that's the second category of needs. Then the third category of needs, once your education, your healthcare, your security are sorted, you're like, now I want to drive a German mm-hmm. machine, you know, right. aspirational needs. Mm-hmm. I want to join this golf club. Right. I want to be an elitist, right. or I want to acquire something that it could be an art or jewelry, whatever it is for you. Those are called aspirational goals. For aspirational goals, you need an aspirational portfolio. Mm-hmm. And that portfolio could be, me and my girlfriends are going on holiday every so often. Ken, you and your boys, you want to go finally travel. You need to go to Dubai, Ken. Yeah. We need to take Ken to Dubai. Okay. So we need to have an aspirational portfolio mm-hmm. that will generate an interest income, passive income for you to spend. Don't spend your principal, right? You spend the interest that has been earned.
Okay.
Then the fourth category is legacy. So after all this is said and done, once people have done all these things, they're like, how will I be inherited? What legacy am I leaving mm-hmm. behind? What am I leaving for my family, for my children, and for my children's children? So legacy planning is key. And we also help our clients with setting up family trusts and transitioning that. And from our experience, we've realized, you know that Kamogoda, what do you call it? Broti Maguta.
Yes.
That one, mm-hmm. your children really don't care about it.
Is that Gen Z's? They're not millennials. Yeah, millennials and Gen Z's.
And alphas.
Right.
They really don't care about
they
that.
They want it liquid.
They want it liquid. Okay. They want cash flow. And that's why for them, they're happy to not own a car, to take an Uber.
Right.
They're happy not to own a house, to live in an apartment and have the opportunity to move wherever.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has really surprised us is what really matters to your children and to that family trust is cash flow.
Interesting.
If you're able to generate cash flow that will ensure anyone who comes from the Nyambura or Gishanga lineage,
right.
has education, then you've set them up.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that we do first, and that starts with knowing your goal.
Okay.
You have to define your goal. What is your investment goal? What do you want to accomplish? Is it school fees? Is it, it could be also for giving. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be what we call here black tax.
Right.
You know, giving back. There's always a WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give from my capital. That fundraiser, I'm going to be funding it from investment income so that I can block whatever investment that I have and I don't eat into my investment. And generally, those are some of the things that we could do. So the first thing is, one, educate yourself. Once you educate yourself, start diversifying. Start diversifying your income streams. We've seen inflation. Ken and Nyambura have really passionately spoken mm-hmm. about inflation. And inflation, what inflation does, what passive income does, it builds a buffer against your inflation so that your 100,000 mm-hmm. at the beginning of January is not 100,000 in December.
Right.
It's 116. And you did not go to go out to work for that 16K.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's just one of the examples.
Just a quick one. What is the right investment horizon that somebody should think about? Is it 5 years? You know, companies will do 5-year strategic planning. Mm-hmm. For an individual in their mid-30s, mid-40s, what's a typical investment horizon that people look at? And the people will say, you know, if you go back 5 years ago, who would have said COVID would have changed the world? Who would have said? And how realistic are those horizons, particularly in a world where, you know, things are just evolving? So what would you recommend to be the ideal horizon? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? Is it?
That's a good question, Ken. That question always, we answer it twofold. One is it depends on your goals. Because Nyambura's, Masi's, Ken's goals are very, very different. Everyone has a different starting capital. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different goal. There are clients who come to us and say, you know what, my goal is from a lifestyle perspective. Others say, my goal is I want to have a fund that I'm going to use the interest income to give. Okay, so it really depends on what your goal is. But generally, investment is an art and a science. But human beings have something called, it's a heuristic. Mm-hmm. It's an overconfidence. It's a delay tactic. I'll start tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. Two, I've had my friends invested and they made money in 3 years. That bias. Overconfidence. Overconfidence.
Right.
So once we understand the goals, we'll be able to tell you. And also from a goal setting perspective, because goal setting is very, very key. And you spoke about having a 5-year strategic plan. That 5-year strategic plan, it's not static. Yeah. You bifurcate and say, year one, I'm going to be doing this. So I want to have a portfolio of $1 million. I want to have a portfolio of 10 million. Mm-hmm. I'm starting with 500K. I want to get to 10 million in 5 years. There's something that I need to do between now. Aside from generating the interest income, I need to keep on investing more, topping up my investments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I like what Warren Buffett says, that investment is, you need a lot of patience in investing for you to be able to monetize and really get your, take advantage of the investment. There has to be some patience into it. There has to be some patience in your investment strategy. So there is, the time horizon really depends on the amount. The time horizon depends on the goal. But investing is something that we need to do every single day. And it should be a lifestyle. Pay yourself first. Yeah.
Marcy, how are you going to be paying yourself first, if at all, you're barely able to meet the bottom level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I can, if I get my payslip once, I do my rent, I do my phone, my food, I'm looking at maybe 5,000.
Yeah.
Is there like a minimal amount that somebody, because times are really tough right now.
True.
And the payslip, the companies, everyone is actually taking a big hit.
Yeah.
So by the time I'm coming to you and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put in 5,000, I have literally put aside so many other things I would possibly be doing, which are all urgent.
Yeah.
So how is it meant to work?
I hear you, and it's a very valid pain point.
Right.
But even that 5,000, we did, we're giving a talk somewhere, mm-hmm. and someone asked, if I'm investing 5,000 for the next 5 years, right, how much will that be?
Mm-hmm.
And the amount came to about 480,000.
Wow.
At the current interest rates.
Okay.
So don't despise humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. Start wherever you are with whatever you have. And we've seen amazing success stories where clients have started with as little as 20K.
Okay.
And they were like, you know what? I just want to start. Like, just start. The more you see your statement,
mm-hmm.
the more there is just a level of fulfillment
that comes.
That comes. Number two, there is also, it's going to unlock opportunities for you to make some more money.
Okay. Yeah, because you're looking for the money.
You are looking for the money.
Okay.
It will come.
So you sacrifice for the greater good.
You sacrifice for the greater. It's called delayed gratification.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no money is too little.
No money is too little.
and I think we are on our journey into this. And I think they normally say there's a percentage of your amount that should be going into saving.
Correct.
What is the correct percentage that I need to be putting in? Doesn't matter whether you're earning 30,000, if you're earning 100,000, because I keep saying the way you spend your habit,
yes,
at 20,000 is going to be the same habit at 50,000. So what amount of money should you, what's that percentage that you will check and go like, you know what, I'm actually off a bit off budget?
That's a good question. I will ask you a question before I answer.
Okay.
Who's the most important constituent in your life or person in your life?
Me?
You, Ken?
Myself.
Yourself.
Correct.
So if you're paying the government 30 to 35%,
okay,
call to action is you should pay yourself,
okay,
something equivalent, isn't it? Because this money, for me, it was a bent. I was like, what? Did I negotiate my my rates well? But it's money that goes.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're able to pay yourself first,
right,
start where first, mm-hmm, just start, and start with something as simple as a money market fund.
Okay.
And a money market fund, I like to call it, it's the equivalent when you go to a bank account and you open a bank account, they'll give you a current account with an ATM.
Yes.
So a money market fund is the equivalent of a current account on the investment side
without the ATM. Okay.
Highly liquid.
Right.
Two, it's diversified. It gives you the ability to diversify,
mm-hmm,
your portfolio. So you're holding government bonds, T-bills, cash deposits, and you take advantage of the pooling of funds together.
Right.
So that's a basic entry point. And you can start with as low as 1,000 bob. We've got an app called Chooms.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Chooms on Apple Store and also on Android app. Sorry. Play Store. You can download Chooms there and start. It's goal-based, and it really comes down to that nitty-gritty. I've got my DMs on Chooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Masi, if you won the lottery today, you won let's say 3 million shillings today.
Yes.
How would you invest it today, given everything you know about the economy today?
That's a good question. And it boils down to what you're talking about. We're in a high interest rate environment. And given we're in a high interest rate environment, we won't be here forever. We've seen the two-year bond last issuance, I think in November, was at 17.4. There's one that's going to be rolled out tomorrow that will be, I think, anywhere between 90 to 100 basis points lower, so about 16%. So we're beginning to see rates coming down. So what I will do is I will lock in my money into high interest rates. And what that does, it allows me to recover for inflation, which has been very high. Inflation was at an all-time high last year.
Right.
So lock in high interest rates, diversify, and also work with a reputable regulated entity.
Mm.
The story of quails and...
I like that message.
Yes.
Lovely. I see our time is way much up, and I can see our producer telling us it's almost time. Any parting shot for us today?
Well, it's about being intentional. We're in the month of April. This is a season of renewal. It's about being intentional. And I liked what Marcy said about the psychological benefits of seeing progress. Even very small progress,
right,
has psychological benefits, which compounds, and actually you're able to do bigger and bigger things. So being the ability of starting where you are,
mm-hmm,
with the little that you have, and building a strong tomorrow. For me, that was my takeaway.
Well, I think I do have one last comment I can give. It was given by Robert Kiyosaki. It says, if you want to be financially free, you need to become a different person than who you are today and let go of whatever it is that has held you in the past. So I think with that, we can come to the end of our show today. Welcome for joining us for Financial Focus. It happens every Tuesday. If at all you happened to miss any bits and pieces of the show, and if you want to listen to any other show that has happened, we've had Financial Forecast. You can go to your podcast station, for us, it's our Capital FM SoundCloud page. You can actually get Financial Forecast, all our episodes there. And a reminder is that you can always get information, as Marcy is saying, stay informed. So write to info@mentoria.co.ke. They're going to give you more in-depth economic insights, data analyses, and forecasts. And you can become on your way to actually making riches. But as Marcy has said, saving is a culture. We have to save. We have to make a better future for ourselves. Thank you so much, Marcy, for giving us your time. I hope everybody has learned something. We are happy to have you back sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, it's time for Wanjera with The Hype. For us, it is good evening. Thank you.
Capital F.